Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics like
Latina Twilight and Elena Alvarez on one day at a time.
They're meant to be. They're so cute.
I love season their season one scenes.
Oh, so adorable. They're always like hugging.
Yeah, and Ariella and Chavelua, like, they're totally friends in real life. So I, like, that's probably why the chemistry's there.
Yeah, because we actually stalk them on the gram and they're like having dinner together.
And they're always like commenting on each other's stuff, saying funny shit. Like, now that the season two came out, Ariella was on there like making fun of her in the comments. It was hilarious.
They're so cute. We ship them forever.
Yes, absolutely. What up, Cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What you doing, girl?
Sipping on some juice.
We already drank like a mimosa? Like, we're on, yeah, like drink number two.
That's actually not bad. Like, we're not that deep yet.
We're not that drunk yet, yeah.
Which is good because this is gonna be an emotional episode.
Oh god. Oh, so many tears. Oh. So how have you been? What's up? You're in Dallas right now. You're in front of me.
Again, I keep doing this.
You are always here.
I'm a part-time Dallas resident. Yeah, I got here Wednesday, and then Thursday we recorded with some very special people.
We got that episode coming for y'all.
Yeah, it's gonna be a little bit though, so I don't want to tease it yet. And then on Friday, fucking magical last day, we just binge watched one day at a time.
It was amazing.
All day long.
So many tears, dude. I didn't mean to cry that much.
And you took the day off of work.
I literally took the day off work just to watch one day at a time, and that's what I did. I didn't leave the house I was in.
Yeah, no. I
needed to take like a 2-hour break though. Like an emotional break.
I stayed up until 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I watched like 5 or 6 episodes.
Oh lord.
Yeah, and then I went to sleep and I watched the rest.
Okay, so there you go, you had a break. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally did the same thing. I think I was in episode 7 where I was like, I need to freaking eat and nap and like step away from the screen for like my tears, you know.
Yeah. I was just really fucking tired, and luckily I had time to watch it again, because I was so fucking tired. I was sleepy when I was watching it, you know what I mean? I was like in that delirious mode. Everything seemed more funny to me than it was, but it's still really funny. It's a funny show.
It's hilarious. But yeah, so how has your weekend been? Why'd you come back to Dallas?
It was my niece and my nephew's birthday.
Oh, babies.
Yeah, so my mom flew me out, and I was like, well, okay, I'll be there. But it was a really good timing, because I want to do this episode live. And it's like almost like, for me, like it's only been 6 months since we started the podcast or so, but for me it's like an anniversary thing, because one day at a time
is their season second episode. Yeah,
season one we did, like, we covered on our very second episode ever, and I think it's a bit of a struggle of an episode, but it's because
it
was so new.
Episode, I feel like it was a struggle, but we're like, I feel like we're having like a lot of fun at the same time.
We were passionate about this show, and we still are.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like really cool to think where we are now. Back then we were like, oh, you know, since 6 months from now, we probably won't have achieved much, but did all right.
I feel like we're doing okay. Like, I definitely want to reach more people. So we're working on that, right? Like,
but I love the people that we have reached.
God, I love the people that have people at us and shit, and like, yeah, listen to us.
Talking to people that have listened to our show is everything.
It really is. I'm always shocked though. I'm always like, wow, I'm so impressed by people who listen to me. I'm like, why? But you're amazing and you deserve hugs.
I love all three of you.
Yes, all five. We stan you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, oh my god, how far have we come? How do you feel about it?
Good. I don't know. It's just good.
Nice words. I feel good.
I feel great about this.
I feel Gucci.
Yeah. So, I mean, now that, like I said, 6 months have passed, we do have, like, so we have a few unreleased episodes.
Yeah, definitely. We always, like, marathon record.
No, yeah, but we have episodes that we have pre-recorded, but we also have episodes that we don't plan on releasing on the show.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like extras or redos and stuff like that, which we want to release to fans who give a shit.
Yes.
So we're starting. Yeah. So we're starting a Patreon. Basically, we'll have already started by the time that this episode is out. So yeah, if you want to check that out and get access to extra content, go to our social media at CYC Podcast, Facebook.com/ CYC Pod if you do that instead.
We'll have that information up on there.
Yeah, we'll link you so you can
pay some hoes.
We're gonna definitely keep it cheap because it's our aesthetic.
Yo, yeah, it's, you know, times is hard. We understand.
Yeah, and we really want to be able to give that content to anybody that actually wants it. So yeah, we have a few like really cool stuff, and that stuff will be released on our off weeks because we do 3 weeks on, 1 week off right now.
Yeah.
So that way you don't have to go a single week without hearing our stupid shit.
Our drunk rants. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
So this episode, like we've already kind of mentioned, is going to be about One Day at a Time season 2. I know that everybody binge watched it in the first week because you're not crazy. So we're going to start off just kind of talking about it non-spoilery for a few minutes so we can kind of recommend it to you and you can go watch it, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah,
the real shit.
How do we non-spoil it though, like overall the show this season?
Fucking like, it's good. It's really like it's
emotional.
Like season one for the past year has been like my go-to, like I want to cheer up and quote every line in the show kind of thing. And I've watched it, I think, exactly 6 times now, the first season.
Yeah.
And I love it. I can quote, like, every line now.
I'm like, wait a minute.
You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
You literally turn it on and you're just, like, word for word going with them.
Like, 90%.
Oh, shit.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's intense, bro.
But so that it's been that for me for a long time. So for season two, you know what I mean, to, in my mind, be up to par with season one. Mm-hmm. Like, it's good. It's fucking good.
I will say this, that, like, I felt super emotional watching the show. Like, I needed to, like, pause and, like, look around the room and be like, wow, this is really, like, it's really important to have a show like this because there aren't, like, no, like, Latinas, no queer Latinas, no, like, mothers being humans and being wrong sometimes and being right sometimes. And, like, overall, what this show means to me is just way more than I can maybe explain even on a podcast. Like, I love this show, and I understand why representation matters. Like, and this shit really fucking matters. It's, like, to have complicated women that are also Latina with accents feeling the same thing I'm feeling, it definitely is validating in a way that, like, fuck it. Like, you know, like, Avengers is never going to validate me. And I know we shouldn't look for validation on TV, but fuck it. Like, we deserve to have our stories told.
Yeah, and then I guess, still keeping it unspoilery, like, they continue on a lot of, like, the stuff that they have in the first season, you know what I mean? Like, being queer and what that means is still on the forefront. PTSD and depression is still there. The complicated relations between family members and being first and second generation American, that comes up. Like, all these sensitive topics that they tackled in season one, they go even harder in season two. Like, they didn't stop. You know what I mean? Like, this is for a sitcom, for a comedy, like, they talk about stuff that even drama won't cover sometimes. So, I mean, they have everything in there, and I think they handled it really sensitively.
It's also extremely smart, and, like, the writers are obviously paying attention and taking from what's happening currently and, like, attaching it to, like, our voices, our POVs. And so it's extremely smart in the way that they handle, like, depression, PTSD, being queer, your identity in Trump's America, which a lot of shows are probably scared to cover. The show isn't, and it's really brave in that way, the way it's tackling taboo things that, you know, people are protesting on the streets for. They're actively acknowledging those people on the street. So that's why I think the show is so important, and, like, it's so smart, is that it takes the time. And also, like, you know how most shows I'm like, well, they could have did this, they could have did that, they missed out on opportunity. No, this is, like, the one show that's not missing out on opportunities. It's taking every, like, oh wow, that's a thing, let's follow that and let's explore that and let's have a whole episode on that. And I really appreciated them covering those subjects.
Absolutely. All right, so I guess for the most part it's hard to talk about it without being spoilery, so go watch the show if you want to come back to this episode and listen to us really get into it and rant about the specific scenes that go on and on, then come back to us.
Do we rate it now then so we don't spoil it and then go watch it?
No cafecitos.
5 pan dulces, like 6 pan dulces. This is the one time I'm gonna give something 6 pan dulces because it deserves it.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. So what subject do you want to start with? Obviously the queer shit.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
It's up to you.
I want to cover Elena first.
She's still gay as shit, right? Like, obviously we ended up with her at her quinceañera, her dad like abandoned her. Fuck you.
He's a dickhead.
I'm but sorry, but as fuck per usual, you. Yeah.
Fuck him.
So she starts off the show strong, you know what I mean? Like, you see her wanting to be an activist, going to marches, you know, not letting people forget who she is, which some people, I guess, or specifically Rita Moreno's character, finds it annoying.
You know? Yeah, and I relate to that because, like, that's extremely relatable. Is like, when you're gay and Latina and, like you just came out, like, you talk about it way more than you should. Like,
I didn't. Like, I came out, but I was just, like, quiet, like, about it myself.
I feel like Elena, like, my parents are just like, shut up, we get it, you're gay, like, go away. Wow. No, like, my brother's like, yeah, what are you gonna say, you're queer again, okay, walk away now. And I was did I fuck you guys?
that's funny. I don't do that, so I don't know. Seeing her do it is funny to me because I'm like, sometimes in my head I do it, I'm like, oh yeah, gay this, gay that, but I don't actually say it to my mom, like, I can't.
I feel you.
But still, it's really cool, like, yeah, to see that. I like that they could have made Elena this, like, you know, cool fucking I'm gay as shit character, but no, she's a dork.
She's a fucking dork who plays video games. I'm really into this.
She's, like, super awkward. Yes. And a little bossy. And at first, okay, so I want to kind of talk about for a second Danny, her first crush or whatever.
Oh, is like Danny. A girl. She, her.
Those are her pronouns. And she, like, that character is probably exactly who I would have envisioned her being with.
Honestly, yeah. That's who I would have thought,
like,
too.
This, like, POC girl who's confident and pretty and kind of, like, the complete opposite of Elena. Yeah. In a way.
Like, they're not anything alike other than they're both, like,
gay.
Like, games.
And activism.
That's gay it. Activism gamers?
Yeah, exactly. They're gamers. So she brings this whole crew of, like, queer people into her home. And they're, like, protesting this video game who doesn't have enough, like, non-binary characters. So
that's super woke.
No, but I love that even though that whole crew, you know, are very obviously very, you know, passionate about this, she still doesn't assume that Danny is gay. She doesn't make that assumption, even though she's standing up for those rights.
Correct assumption that all lesbians make is that the person they like obviously can't be gay. Like, that's correct. Like, we never think the girl we like is actually gay.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, no, you know, not when you know. Like, if they haven't said it, you don't assume it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's how
I... Like, there's a fear.
We walk around in the world like, I don't know if she's gay. She doesn't... Until she says it, she's straight.
Right.
And that's how we assume it.
Yeah, so she... Like, what I really like about this part, too, is that Rita Moreno's character, Lydia, and Alex, her little brother, kind of team up and try to give her advice. And they're both, like, the Casanova types of the family.
They're, like, wingmen for, like, everyone. Like, everyone needs those wingmen.
The fucking scene with the cookie, I tripped out.
That cookie scene was too real. I was like, grandma.
Oh, no, no. Even fucking backtracking a little bit. I love that Lydia, like, goes to figure out if she's gay for her or not or whatever. She's like, oh, hey, what? A- She calls her she because, like, she's like, I go by she and her. So she goes up to her. She's like, hey, she or her or something like that.
No, she's like, hi, she.
She's like, what kind of lipstick are you wearing? And the girl's like, oh, I just wear chapstick. And then she's like, oh, thank you. She smiles.
She's like, lesbian.
No, she walks by Elena. She's like, gay.
Gay.
I was like, that's so true. I only wear chapstick.
No, I met lesbians that do wear lipstick.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like that was, like, the point that she was, like, gay.
That's kind of a correct assumption, but not, you know,
It's not the rule.
It's not the rule.
But it was really, I love that scene. And then she goes and she's, like, about to offer a cookie.
Oh, God, the cookie.
It doesn't work out for her. Let's just say that. The girl has a girlfriend.
She literally answers the phone and goes, oh, my girlfriend has a cookie.
She's like, she got me a cookie.
Confirm she's gay, but also confirm she's not into her.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
And that's when Sid comes into the scene. I love Sid. At first, I was like, I don't know, like, I, like, they were both too awkward, you know what I mean? And I got a little cringed out the first time around.
But that's how it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, it's very real. But, the like, the first time seeing them, I was just like, Jesus Christ, can they be any more awkward? I was,
Me gay, too. God. Dude, when my mom laughed at that scene, I was like, my mom's an ally. I'm sitting there like, go, mom.
Well, she's laughing at them, but I mean, yeah. No, hey, but I laughed at it, too. I laughed at it, too. Like, wow. I was sitting there cringing at first. But then when I rewatched it, I thought it was a lot cuter. But Sid, who identifies as they and them, a non-binary character, like, she's actually really adorable. Like, and she's...
They're super adorable.
And she makes a lot of sense for Elena. Because they're both awkward and dorky. And they're total nerds. I don't know. I
love the way she, like, loves Elena. Like, she's like... Wow, she's like the coolest person I know. Yeah, like, she's always like, wow, she's just so smart, everyone must love her. And it's like, Elena has no friends.
Yeah, and she thinks that Elena's like the most popular girl in school and all this other
but
stuff.
She has to be, of course, because she's so cool. And it's just like,
and it's like, it's funny because you see Sid feel about Elena how Elena felt about Danny at first, where she was just like too scared to go up to her, and then she finally gathers the courage, and then Elena looks, she's like, oh, and then like Sid's like looking all sad, and she's like, oh no,
she rejected my cookie.
Yeah, basically. And then Elena's like, no, me gay. I don't know, I really like that
scene. Was really, really adorable. And then the prom scene.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect from Elena just being in a full-blown suit, but that was pretty cute.
I liked how Sid asked Elena to prom.
Her big ask. I've seen that scene like a dozen times, and I kind of started to memorize the song. I was walking around like yesterday, like whistling that song. I was like, oh, you set my heart on fire. Like, I was like, I love that whole scene. And I like, same thing on that, the first time around, I cringed. I was like, God, this is awkward.
Yeah, it was so like, oh fuck. Like, it was like you could feel yourself doing it and feeling how bad it was.
It was pena ajena.
Pena ajena.
I felt it hard.
Oh, but it was actually adorable because like the way Elena reacted, she was like, yes, I'll go anywhere with you.
Elena was like, if you go back and watch it again, the whole time she's like dancing and she's like really fucking into it. She loves it. So,
and like, and what's her name? The actress. I'm not good with names.
Isabella Gomez.
Like, she memorized the entire song.
Oh, the actual actress.
Yeah, the actress memorized the entire song. And like, one that they like showed a like clip on Twitter of her like singing along to the song while it aired, while everyone was watching it.
Yeah. Sheridan Pierce is the actress that plays Sid, and they were hanging out and binge watching it, I think that Friday or that Saturday, I don't know.
All the writers, yeah.
Yeah, everybody got together, and then they were both there together, and then like that scene came up because they were all binge watching the show together, and Sheridan's like taking a video of the show and then does like the selfie mode, and then all you see is Chavelua going hard. She's like, you set my heart on fire. God, it was amazing.
She even said something about like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and that shit, and Sotomayor maybe, and I was like, wait, yes. What?
She's like,
so cute.
It's like the super like woke feminist song that she creates, and yeah,
it's a super woke like Latinx song about her love for her or
not
shit.
She, I keep saying they. She. Okay, so we did some research. I don't think that the character, that the actress, yeah, identifies as non-binary. She's, yeah, you fucking, we, maybe she'll come out that way. I don't
I mean
know.
If she does, let us know.
Or we'll let you know. Shit, at TOSE podcast, we'll, yeah, definitely put that out there and keep it,
we'll try to keep it correct.
Yeah, but Sid is they them. Mm-hmm. And God, like, yeah, like I said, my basic ass would have gone with a character like Danny for a love interest who just identifies as a woman, and she, I think she's a lesbian. Mm-hmm. But Sid, she ends up dating Sid and like has no issues with it. What I really like is that they don't go into Elena being like, oh, do I like somebody who doesn't necessarily identify as a woman?
Yeah, give no fucks.
She doesn't care. She's just like, I love them, or I like them, a lot, you know, and I think that that's really fucking cute.
It is cute.
And
puppy love is so cute, you
it
guys.
Is
love is real for other people,
and it's extremely awkward because, and that's real because they always have like these like hot and steamy like teenage relationships. I'm like, no, the fuck, we're stumbling around.
We're like, can't even finish a sentence. Oh my god, the episode where they were stuck in the house on lockdown,
the lockout episode. Elena was so fucking awkward. That's another moment of pena ajena that I had. I was like, God, Elena, just like, just be so yourself.
Real, but that's so real.
It is.
I'm currently still like that around women. I'm like, I have to go.
I've gotten better at talking to people, luckily.
I'm good at talking to women I don't care about. But if like I have a little bit of a crush, I'm just like, hello. Hello.
Oh my god.
Goodbye. Like, me gay too.
Me gay too.
No, but shout out to her brother for also trying to be the wingman in that situation during the lockdown.
Yeah, he was really fucking cool. And then fucking Elena comes in. I'll kill you. God. Oh god.
The whole like, what was it? The like, oh, I hate that. I hate A Wrinkle in Time. So stupid. And she's like, I love that movie. She's like, it's stupid how much I love that book.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, oh, same. Cringe.
So then like Elena is like struggling super hard. She doesn't want to talk to her at all. And then she gets stuck in a lockout with them, which is a really good episode too, because it brings up gun control.
All
but we'll talk,
things, yeah. We'll talk about
later.
That
later. But yeah, so she, like, they don't give a shit. There's like a gunman on the loose. And they go
like
outside,
man.
Yeah, and they
and
go outside.
And that kiss is so cute. Like,
it is.
It was like the definition of shut up, stop talking, I'm going to kiss
it was
you.
Like,
I was like,
like, it was written by somebody that does fan fiction. It was perfect.
Yes, it was. It was straight out of a fan fiction. I was like, this is all we wanted. And she was like, shut up, stop talking. I was like, but I mean, they didn't say that.
Yeah,
Linda
just
kind of grabbed her.
They, as in Sid, was like thinking in their head, like,
she's being
Elena,
super neurotic.
No, she's like, fucking, they were like, Elena doesn't like me.
Yeah.
They thought that Elena was, like, just not interested at all. And Elena was just, like, not able to put her feelings out there because she's too awkward.
And she just
so finally, Elena.
Sid.
Finally, Elena was just like, I don't want to be just your friend or whatever. And it made out. It was cute.
It was so adorable.
It was really cute. Especially because there's fucking police helicopters talking about, can you guys go the fuck back inside?
Teenagers kissing and go back inside.
Because there's literally a gunman on the loose and they don't care. They're outside.
I mean, if you live in, where do they live? Like Echo Park area?
Yeah, they live in a, like probably, straight up in LA.
It's probably normal. Like,
I had my first experience with the police helicopters making you stay inside, and they blocked off my street a couple weeks ago. It was the first time that I'd ever experienced that. Because
really?
Here, they don't really
They
do
don't
that.
Block off the street.
And then just have helicopters, like,
you
hovering.
Just know not to go out because literally everyone has a gun in Texas.
And they, like, over there, they literally go door to door, and they're looking for a person. Like, they block you off.
They go door to door?
You can't go into the block. You can't leave the block. Like, yeah, they have, like, everybody puts their lights on. You see the helicopters are out for hours until they get this person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dallas gets really bored and lazy. They,
yeah,
like,
Dallas
the
is not like that at
way,
all.
And they're like, well, we didn't find him.
So what they did there with that lockdown or whatever,
weird.
And that in that scene, like, that's real. That's it's really like that.
Really?
Yeah, they really did that. For us, it was at nighttime. For them, it was daytime, I think.
It was from day to night.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was nighttime because
they were, like, leaving a Comic-Con and all this stuff. But, yeah, back to it. It was fucking adorable. It was the most amazing scene.
I love that they made it, like, awkward. I love that they made Elena, like, I don't know. It's all very human, you know? It's, like, she's not, like, a confident, like, queer, like, Lothario type. She's not, like,
Well, she
Shane.
Is, but not when it comes to Sid.
She's not, like, Shane from the L Word.
No,
like, she's,
not.
Like, as dorky as us. Like,
she's, you know, 15 to 16. So that's what she's supposed to be like. Nobody, other than, like, fucking Alex, nobody comes out of fucking Casanova.
Yeah, that's true. Alex is very smooth.
Yeah.
So he's awesome. But yeah, like, I love how real that is to be that awkward.
It was really fucking cute. But what we find out, because at first, her, like, the whole activism thing that she has going on is annoying.
But, oh my god.
But the reason that she's, like, trying so hard to, like, she's starting a GSA at her Catholic school, and she's expecting everybody to go against her. She expects the worst from people now. That's what's kind of changed, like, from first season to second season, Elena. She expects everyone to hate her.
She's ready to fight everybody.
Yeah, she's, like, got her guard all the way up. And you find out that it's because she has, like, super hard feelings about her dad.
I mean, which in season one, he like didn't even dance with her at a quinceañera.
Just justified.
Just because she was gay, and he's like, she finally meets up with her dad again, and that scene is like, Elena standing up for herself is very powerful, because I feel like a lot of people need to hear like someone stand up for themselves and say, fuck you, you're the one that's wrong, not me. Like, shit, fuck you, I'm awesome, you're gonna miss out. And I thought that was such a powerful scene. Like, every queer girl needs to hear that if they ever felt like rejected.
Well, and I like that they kind of, I think that in the future they will kind of resolve how she talks about feeling about the world, because she talks about feeling like, you know, society and people are gonna hate. She's like, people are gonna hate me no matter, you know, no matter what, without even knowing me. And I thought that was, it was heartbreaking to see that. It was to hear that, but that's definitely how I felt. That's the and reality. Still kind of feel.
It's still a reality.
It's like, yeah, like I know that strangers, you know, have strong feelings about who I am, and that's like, for a teenager, like those emotions are heightened, and they really, really show that, you know what I mean? And they show how much more it affected her when it happened to her with her own father. And it's, yeah, it's heartbreaking. It's fucking heartbreaking.
But it's the world we live in, and that's realistic. You know, like, to have your heart broken so early by even your own family, like, I think that's real. And, like, no one else is fucking having that story. Like, everyone else is either like, I hate you, get out. But they're not actually showing someone stand up for themselves going, yeah, you fucking hate me, but you know what? You're missing out. I'm going to make it work. Fuck you. You know? She was like giving him the finger. I was like, love this. I mean, she didn't actually
give
him
the finger. Yeah, I was like, no, she didn't.
But like, you know, with her soul.
what I really like too is how they kind of, like, they ended it with him saying like, yeah, you're right. Like, I'm going to miss out. Like, I'm the one that's fucking up here. But he still doesn't, like, miraculously change his mind and become a gay supporter or anything like that. And that's real. Like, a lot of times they have to,
it takes a long time, a lot of fucking years.
Like, my mom never said I'm okay with you being gay, but she did say like, I love you, you know what I mean?
That's something. Hey, right. That's a start,
right? You know, right,
a lot of people don't even get that.
Yeah, so it could, maybe they bring in season three like that they have a relationship where they never talk about it, you know, that's real. That happens. But the point is that it was an imperfect, like, conclusion. And they do that a lot in this season and in several parts of everybody's relationship. Like, it's imperfect. Like, nothing is perfect.
Yeah, nothing's working out just smooth and cool. Like,
people compromise.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
They did a really good job with Elena this season. And honestly, like, wow, to like see someone who's like you is like, what the fuck, like gay, like activist, like fucking smart and woke as fuck. I was like, yo, this bitch is me. But like, if like I was my best self at like,
if I was
16,
if I was, yeah, already,
like,
cause there.
I was not my best self at 16, but like, imagine if like I had seen someone like her at like 14 or 13 or 12. Imagine these little kids that are watching her, that like, that could change the way they feel about themselves, how they see the world. Like, that's so important for like people younger than us.
Yeah, like I already believe in it. Like, I see her character and I'm like, I believe that there's probably people like that now, you know what I mean? Because whenever I was younger,
what the fuck did we have?
You keep it to yourself, you know what I mean? And now you can be out, like a lot of people, not everybody, a lot of people can be out. I think that her character is a person that can now exist.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
And I love that too. Oh, I love you, Elena. You're my favorite character. Oh. And I guess we also want to get into, I wanted to talk about Abuela too, just because she looks like my mom.
You want to get into immigration real quick?
Yes, I do.
So they talk a lot, because last year the main immigration story was about Latina Twilight, aka Carmen, and how her parents got deported and she had to move away to Texas. This season, well, of course they're gonna bring it up again, even though they don't have like another kind of character. Carmen's not in this season, but Trump has, you know, taken office and they've got a lot of people worried. They even mentioned they're deporting Cubans now, which is not something they were doing before. And Elena's worried for her grandmother, and she's like,
Oh, yeah, because spoiler alert, or this whole thing's a spoiler. Yeah, we find gone. Out that Abuela is undocumented. Not undocumented, but she only has green papers. She's not a
green legal, papers.
She's not a citizen. Is that? Oh, I mean, they're not green papers anymore, right?
She's a permanent resident.
She's a permanent resident. There we go. I always think like, oh, los papeles. Like, you know, I'm thinking 90s, my parents.
It's a green card, and then that means you have your papers, and that means you're a permanent resident. There's a ton of ways you can say it, but point is that she never went forward and did the citizenship. Why?
Because she didn't want, she thought that becoming an American citizen was going to be losing her. She's going to stop being Cubana.
And well, you literally have to renounce.
You have to renounce your other citizenship, but right. Especially if you're, I don't know.
No, like no matter what, you like have to, no, I think you can do a dual, there's some sort of dual citizenship. Because my mom has dual citizenship. Yeah, you can do that.
I was like, no, because my mom's still a dual citizenship.
But they do make you, I don't know.
Like you have to say it.
You have, but to like, say, you know, I renounce.
You have to say that you renounce all these other countries.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you technically don't.
Obviously, in your heart, you don't have to. But, like, seeing those words for somebody that has a lot of pride in their country, I get it. You know what I mean? And she was satisfied. She's like, you know what? I'm fine with being a permanent resident. Like, we have pretty much the same rights.
But Elena
has, like, made the point that, like, now we're under a very racist administration that could change that. They could be, like, a permanent resident. Is no longer permanent, you know. Yeah,
they. I mean, when you're not a citizen, the government can take away your rights. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, a legal resident. Fuck that. They're gonna do what they want, as they have. Another thing I liked about what they did with that is they never mentioned 45's name.
Yeah, well, I think that was on purpose.
I mean, I don't like to mention 45's name either.
Yeah, no, fuck that guy. But at the same time, it's like you say the name. It's like he's like fucking Voldemort right now. Obviously not that powerful, but it's like you say the name and that gives it power.
It does. And that's why I don't watch a lot of TV, because they mention his name everywhere, or in Twitter. I like.
Block, but like if you do mention block. His name, like look at Jay-Z. Jay-Z says something about him, and the fucking president of the United States let out an official statement to talk shit to Jay-Z. Like this is where we are.
I blocked him. I didn't know if he did that.
No. I don't follow him on anything, but it's on the timeline. You know what I mean?
I think I muted his name as well off my timeline.
Really?
Yeah. Like I mean, just typed it in. You can mute people's names, and when they say it, it don't pop up on your shit. So that's what I did. And I you know, I'm living carefree in my.
That's
gay
fantastic,
bubble.
But I keep my enemies close. So
I'm gonna hear about it anyway.
So I'm just like, I can't believe, like, I don't know. I can't believe it at this point. So even just saying his name, avoiding saying his name, like there could be a number of reasons they did it, but one of the reasons could definitely be like, I don't want him to come after my show.
Well, not just that, like you said, saying his name gives him power, and like if you don't say his name, it's he wants attention. He wants to be mentioned all the time. When you don't say his name, it's like, you know, like the Kardashians, like how I don't mention them ever, because I feel like they're like attention seeking. Like
I like the Kardashians. Unpopular worms. Opinion. I fucking like them.
It's not that I don't like them. I just don't care, and so I avoid everything that involves them. I feel the same way about 45.
Kylie, what's going on with you? You pregnant or not?
Oh God. Yeah, I can't with them, because I think. The same society that made Homegirl famous for no reason is the same society that obviously would make 45 president. In my head, they are the same thing.
Oh, okay. So you're making that connection.
I'm making that connection in my head. So I just don't like either of them.
Right.
Yeah. But I like that they didn't mention it, and I like they didn't give it power. I like that what they gave a voice to and what they used their platform for was not to mention his name. It was to talk about the people who never get mentioned. You know, people who are legal citizens, people, queer Latinas that are almost entirely ignored. You know, like, Abuela's situation is very, like, that's super real. Like, I have tios and tias that didn't want to become citizens just because they didn't want to give up their Mexican citizenship, which it doesn't work that way, tia. Like, you can do it.
Yeah.
But they would, on purpose, just miss their appointment with immigration.
Wow.
Like, they would make it and then not go. Or the kids would make it and they wouldn't
go. My mom took the test. She went and did it.
Right, it's not, they have it in Spanish now. That's another thing that was strange about, like, I guess they didn't, they were probably going off old rules, but that test is in Spanish now. They ask you those questions in Spanish. The interview?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's
my
in Spanish.
My mom had to do it all in English.
In English? No, my dad did it in Spanish.
My dad didn't. He doesn't want to do it. He's like, fuck that shit. But yeah, I mean, it's very important that they brought that up. And I just very quickly, they always compare her storyline with Schneider, who is a Canadian citizen, and he never took his citizenship. And like, it's funny to have that contrast because he's like the most privileged dude that you could possibly, like, he's rich, he's white, he knows English, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's always talking about how hard it is to be an immigrant.
He's a walking white privilege, like.
Right. So banner. Having that comparison there is hilarious. At least I think so.
I think it is too.
Yeah. So
he's always like, yeah, me and you are the same, abuela. And I'm like,
or he's like, well, in this episode, I don't hate this. He admits, or in this season, he admits that he's trying to learn Spanish, and you get his backstory about how rejected he really was from his family. Like, he was literally basically kicked out of his family. Like, that's fucked up. Lydia, who's the abuela, she really was there for him. You know what I mean?
Oh, that was so sweet.
Mm-hmm. She, like, he had trouble with addiction and stuff like that, and she was the first person who was just like, you know, try again tomorrow. And brings him a sopa de pollo.
She's so, like, think of this as like your penicillin or something.
Right. So even though Lydia's been through obviously a lot of shit, like, yeah, they have parallels.
They really give Lydia like a lot of time, and she's much more than just like the comic relief. She's like, you figure out like you have in the first season when she was the one keeping everybody together, that she's the heart. She's like the heartbeat of that whole freaking family. And I love that they're centralizing an abuela, a woman, you know? She's the one that's like keeping everyone together. There's not like a man that's doing anything. And like, no, they're both carrying the heavy load for everybody.
And she's also imperfect. She's not like she, like during the first few episodes, they have to correct her constantly. They're like, cause she's like, no, Cubans are better than Mexicans, basically. And they're like, no, that's not what we're fighting for.
We're not arguing that point. Yes, we make the best beans. Mom, that's not what we're saying.
She's like, we are the true beaners.
And then she even said something about, yes, but we're white. And I was like, oh.
I kind of like that she brought that up, though.
Because that doesn't get talked about in the Latino community. They just act like light-skinned people and indigenous people and like Afro-Latinos are like, they just act like it's the same. And it's like, nah, bitch, we could treat it differently within our own community.
She's like, Cubans are really fucking white. And I like that she said that because most Latinos are like, we're not white. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I get that.
We reject that notion now.
I like that they made fun of, but still use very frequently, Latinx.
But only Elena said it. What's a Latinx? Is that like a Latin Kleenex? Because they're better.
That's the one thing I didn't like. She would call it Latinx, which sounded like Kleenex.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's Latinx or Latinx.
And you don't say you're Latinx. Like, she said a Latinx, right? And
I was like, that's fine.
I was like, I don't know. It's just like when they said quinces last season, it just bothered me. I was like, bitch, what? Bitch, say a quince or a quinceañera. Full word.
Well, that's how we say it. Like, that's.
What writers? A lot of people had the same thing that we did. Because just say quinceañera away. Like, say the whole word.
But some people do say quinces.
Quinces?
Like, not. You know most anybody? People say quince.
Do you know anybody who says quinces?
I don't. But some people do.
There's
so.
A lot of people that were thrown off by that. Like,
we have to realize that, like, different Latinx communities use different words. Different. Yeah, we have different customs. That's fine. So I wasn't bothered by that as much as I was with the Kleenex Latinx. But.
I love that they try to make it seem, well, Elena's character isn't supposed to be good at Spanish, but then like the little Spanish she speaks, I'm like, bitch, you ain't got no accent. That shit is beautiful and
like,
perfect.
Vamos a hablar de esto de la inmigración. I was like, dang, bitch.
And she's like, her mom was like, yo, you speak better Spanish. Like, she does speak better Spanish than Rita Moreno.
She speaks really good.
She's
Colombiana.
She speaks perfect Spanish.
Yeah.
So that's why I like the ongoing joke. I like that her character doesn't speak Spanish. And then when she does, you're like, bitch, I ain't hear no accent. Like.
And then I like that.
It's beautiful.
I like that they brought that up because last season it was kind of like just the butt of the joke. But this season it gets like real. Like, she's really talking about how like not speaking Spanish was a struggle. And she talks about why she stopped speaking Spanish. The very last episode is going to make every last one of you bitches cry. But
I cried more during the last episode of this than I did during all of Coco.
Wow.
Well, I mean, Rita Moreno looks like my mom, and they're kind of probably like, yeah, they look a lot like, and I see a little.
Oh, lady. I would imagine that would hurt.
Yeah, she looks like my mom. So it's like, and that the relationship, like, I don't have a Justina Machado, like, I just have an abuela, and that's my mom.
Yeah.
Like, that age difference.
I feel
too.
Like
I relate to her as my mom more than Justina Machado.
Yeah, Justina Machado. like, I relate to her as a person.
Like my tia or, like, my cousin.
No, I feel like I'm right in between, like, Elena and Justina Machado's characters, because it's, like, I have this very, like, I want to be an activist side, I want to be woke as fuck side, but then I also have, like, a...
Work, practical.
Yeah, I have that side of me that's more, like, I'm the first generation person. Like, Justina Machado's first generation, whereas Elena is second. So I relate to her and her relationship with her mom and how she views the world, you know what I mean? Like, I relate to that a lot. So I'm stuck in the middle of these two characters.
Same.
But I love them both dearly.
Yeah, obviously. Like, you're an amalgamation of both of those kids. Yeah, same.
Because I'm literally age-wise, I'm right in the middle of them. 15 and, like, what, 37, 38?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're cute. I can't. Like, Abuela's, like...
But they call her out. That's what I like. Like, they call out when Lydia's saying something problematic. And
because a lot of people in older
they really are like that.
They say shit like that. Oh, but we're white. And I'm like, oh, Thea.
That's where she reminds me of.
My mom don't say shit like that. But
I mean, that's right. Like, but it's true, though. Like, there are white Cubans. There are white Mexicans. It's true.
Yeah, my homegirl's white passing and she's Cuban. And it's like.
Very white passing.
You've seen her. Like, yeah. Her name's like Teresa Hernandez. But yeah. She's. I love you. Hi. but yeah, she's just white passing. Right. And it just. She's done her bloodline. It is not white. But like.
Elena was so upset about being white passing. She's like, am I white passing? Will I never be oppressed? That's where I was annoyed. But then it comes out like later on or whatever. But.
Yeah. she does look Schneider. Like Anne Hathaway though.
I didn't realize that until they pointed it out.
And like, I was like, she does.
They're like, wow, Anne Hathaway just protected those Mexicans. I can't.
She does look like her, though.
But I like that they acknowledged it. And then she was, like, talking about oppression. And then Schneider just looked at her. She's like, you're still gay. And she's like, and a woman. She's I'm be oppressed. Yeah. And it's like... I like that they acknowledge that there's those three levels. Because same, like, I'm Mexican, I'm a woman, and I'm gay. Like, that's three points of attack right there.
Yeah. But you light-skinned, too.
But a white, you're right. But a white person, like, white people know
like
that I'm
Anne Hathaway's like cousin.
Oh
like,
God, her like, ugly cousin.
No, you're just like her thick cousin. That's all.
No, like the thing is that white people can tell that I'm not white. Mexicans can't always tell. But yeah, white people look at me and they know I'm not one of them.
You're ethnically ambiguous.
There you go. I'm ambiguous.
Who's ethnic? It's called ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's you, girl.
But I think Chavelua... You could be
like 20 different things.
Chavelua could possibly pass a little more than me, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just because she has the pink in the face.
I mean...
Do I too? Yes. Fucking A.
I'm looking at you right now, girl. Oh, you're like... you kind of pink.
But I like that they bring it up because there's privilege in that, guys. There's definitely privilege in that.
And it's finally... It's good
but what other show has done that? Like, what show have you ever watched that they talk about Latinx white passing people?
No, but they've talked about like Afro Latinx people and like Amara La Negra in Love and Hip Hop Miami. Okay. They finally talked about colorism in that community. Like,
that's a reality show, reality TV.
Yeah, but yeah, that's just scripted. no, but they finally brought that up like to the forefront. I feel like people are just finally starting to learn. Like, oh wow, you can be Afro Latinx. Like, you can be
black and Latino. Black,
and guess what? You still like Dominican. You still Spanish. Your culture is one thing, your ethnicity is another, but it doesn't take away from either. You're both.
Yeah, there's nationality, there's ethnicity. Bam.
Bam. And you're both. You can exist within, it's called intersectional feminism.
Yeah, bitch. Oh my God. Yeah,
50, what is it, 53, 55? What was the percentage of white
55% women? 55% of white women. We
just throwing out a percentage, but yeah, white women, we see you. This isn't about vaginas. Anyways.
Not all women have vaginas.
No, not they don't.
Not all people are women or men.
Exactly. All right.
Just we've said our piece.
We're just being petty again. But we love y'all if you listen. You're obviously not one of those 55 if you listen God. To us. Obviously.
You never know. But perfect segue from immigration. They talk about race from the get.
First episode is so fucking real.
Yeah. This is where Alex kind of comes to shine because Alex was just like a character in the last season, but this time he's like
an ally.
Yeah, he's like, he has real issues with people, and it comes out that because he's darker skin, you could tell he's Latino.
Yeah,
like immediately he has been dealing with bullies who talk shit about him and always assume that he's Mexican.
But it's not, he's not getting it in his school. He's usually getting it in places where he's just in public, and random racist people feel the need to come up to him, which that's real as fuck. We live in Texas. That's real as fuck. Mm-hmm. I've already had
not people... for me, but yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Privilege. I'm right. Like, this is, yeah.
That's right. My bad. I forget your skin tone. I'm like, no, this shit's real. I go places where I you see from. It still, though. No, but where are you really from? Like, bitch, Oak Cliff, my mama. Like, yo, you want to know where I'm from? My mama's name is this and that. You can find her here.
I would be like, I don't owe you anything. Fuck you.
Yeah, I hate when people ask me that. Where are you really from? Oh, or where are you really from, motherfucker? Switzerland? Ireland? Germany, motherfucker? Because you ain't from
United I think States. You are, Alex. You're getting real angry.
I'm really angry about this. Just because it's happened so much
and Alex, to me. And Alex gets really angry and he ends up punching somebody.
I mean, I've almost wanted to. Like, it's happened so many times at this point. Like, oh, but you're not really American. Oh, fuck you, man. Like, at my work, I have cussed out my coworkers for telling me I'm not really American. I was like, fuck you.
Like, bitch, you're not really American.
I was like, bitch, you came on a boat and conquered a fucking country. And I've been conquered so many goddamn times, I don't even know what I am anymore. So fuck you, too. You know? I have strong feelings, okay, mm-hmm. about colonization. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, I like that they bring it up and then that Justina Machado's character, fucking Penelope. Penelope has trouble. She has trouble thinking of how am I going to talk to my son about this? You know what I mean? Like, it's how do you tell your son
this isn't going that this to
is,
stop.
You can't say this is okay. You know what I mean? You
can't hit people either.
Yeah, you can't say fight every single one of them. You can't say be passive. You know what I mean? It's hard to find a right answer. So I like that they bring, like, it's once again, it's imperfect. You know what I mean? You don't have a single answer for this.
Yeah, because...
They fix it with ice cream and then they go and face another racist.
Yeah. Talking about, what do you say? Like, oh, he's I like, see a little fiesta.
He's like, I know you're having a little fiesta, but, like, you know, there are other people in this establishment or whatever the fuck. Fuck you. It's a public place. I don't know. It's... A lot of the black community faces that kind of shit too.
Oh, fuck Cordero, yeah.
And you were, I think, or no, somebody was telling me about it. They're like, yeah, they look at you and just because you're being like a little bit loud because you're in a group, they assume that it's because of your race. I'm like, no, but you're in a group. Like, you talk a lot.
You're
over
not gonna
each
whisper
other.
To each other. Right. Like,
it's the bullshit. Fuck?
That's true.
Yeah. So
and then you get bad service and then you don't tip them well because they were shitty. Like, what the fuck? You didn't even come over here.
I've never had, like, a waitress who was pissed off about it or anything like that.
Have you ever gone with a group of POC people?
Yeah. Like, I've gotten loud people. Like, the waitresses are always really super cool about it. It's always the people around you. Like, the other guests.
Oh, no. It's everything for us.
I always have great waitresses.
We know.
Or waiters.
But you're light-skinned, my
Bitch, but I was with people who weren't. Okay. Dang. Sure. I'm still loud. No, I'm not.
You're not. You're very quiet. You whisper. no, but yeah, that's talking about? Like a complicated thing, like race in America now. Like, it's always been complicated. I think now it's just people are like actually paying attention to it and calling out people for being pieces of shit.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that's changed, because before people of color would just be like, oh, well, we're just going to take it. And it's like, no, we don't have to. Fuck that. Like, which you shouldn't be a piece of shit because we're not being one.
Mm-hmm. Which, circling back around to this being about kind of Alex's storyline, I really like that he gets shown as struggling with having pride in being Cuban, even though he's never been to Cuba, and you know, like, he basically knows the language because of his grandmother. And her influence, which is kind of similar to me, like, because of my family's influence, I feel Mexican. And, but still, like, not American. Wanting, yeah. Not wanting his family at the baseball games being loud. You know what I mean? Like, still feeling, like, some shame that he doesn't need to feel.
When you said that, I thought immediately of Abuela bringing Lydia. Up the flag, Cuba flag. The Cuban flag. I was like, that's lit as fuck. I love baseball.
Dale, papito, dale. Yes. I love they kind of brought that in. That's cute. That was cute.
That was adorable. I love that they call him Papito, too. Like, the nickname thing is real.
Yeah. Okay, so bringing that up, they talk about how everyone has a nickname, and then they have that moment where they're like, oh, everybody has a nickname. If you don't, you're not normal. And then
Elena,
pobre Elena. Like, I love Lydia. And then Lydia doesn't even look at her. She's like, no. And then she ends up getting it. She gets Blanquita because she's light skinned.
Which that's the answer.
Yeah, my mom calls me India, but that doesn't make any sense.
They don't call you Wera or nothing.
No, they call me India.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's ironic. I don't know.
I think it is ironic. I mean, I get called cabrona, so that's always been my nickname.
Bam. So she gets that nickname finally, and they're like, dale, blaguita. But anyway, I didn't like that they kind of upped how mean Abuela can be towards Elena.
Oh, yeah. She was hardcore.
She was real mean this season.
She gave no fucks about Elena at all. She was just like, papito, I love... But that's another thing that's super true. Like, if they treat the boys better. Oh, my God. You are, like, heaven sent. Mm-hmm. Like, you do no wrong even when you're fucking up.
Five sandwiches. They give you all this food and then, like, a yogurt for the girl. Oh, papito,
you're perfect. It's okay. You can do whatever you... Elena, what are you doing? You know, like, that's too real. Like, go clean the entire house. And what does he do? Fucking watch TV. Okay, okay. Anyways.
And Penelope is, like, not as hardcore that way. No. But at the same time, she does have her moments where she has this, like,
favoritism for Papito.
Yeah, exactly. But
For Alex.
For Papito. But it's a lot less. But you do still see it.
That's another... I love that they did that, though, because no one talks about it. Like, how your brother gets away with literally everything and you can't even leave your house.
You know what I really wanted to see this season?
What?
Penelope's reaction to Elena's kind of like dating life and stuff like that, because in the last season they talked a lot about how Penelope,
how she felt about
her daughter. She wanted to be able to talk to her daughter about everything, but they didn't have a single conversation about Sid. No. Other than like, can I go on a date with her? Him. I'm like, they fuck with hate
Sid.
Myself.
Just say Sid. Just with say, Sid. With Sid. Just say their name.
Elena wanted to go on a date with Sid. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, Alex was actually being like ally of the year, and so was Abuela. They were both being.
They
like,
were both using the correct pronouns, unlike my bitch ass.
Protect. They. It seems like they spent more time around Elena. Like I didn't see Penelope. Right. Spend
Penelope
a lot of time
didn't
with Elena. Mm-hmm. Just other than like, fine, I'll take you to that protest.
Yeah, I missed the Penelope Elena dynamic because it was prominent in season one.
But I think this season they focused on Abuela and Elena's and Alex and what they didn't focus on last season, you know? Like, this season they focused on the other relationships that they didn't cover last season.
That's true.
Maybe and I like that. I really like that, so.
I do. I wanted both. I want everything. I want longer seasons. Give me, like, 10 seasons.
Oh, no, dude. I couldn't. I had to take emotional breaks. Like, I was crying so much this season. Like, so, Penelope, my favorite thing about them going into her PTSD was that they show her like going off her meds and going into like a deep depression, and that shit was heavy. I cried so much that episode.
I like that you see it, you know what I mean? You see that she's happy, you see that everything's going well. She goes through group therapy and there's nothing for her to talk about other than like she's everything happy. Is good, every aspect of my life is good right now. So she's like, why do I need meds? Like, she has that thought in her mind, like, if I'm good, then I don't need this, I don't need that. But, like, this is what's keeping you centered, and you forget that.
And that's a dangerous thing to do, is go off your meds and then become... Like, I've seen people who've gone off their meds and become
a completely different
person, and you're having to deal with... Like, you don't know how to help them, you know? Like, everything's there for them. Like, the group therapy, sometimes you have to take medicine, and there's no shame in that. Like, but she's exploring the very real shame, and even in the first season they explored that, but this season it was so heavy because she couldn't even get out of bed, and that's a lot of people's realities, and like her thinking she's better than her disease, you know? And it's like, no, this helps you see, you know, the parallel between
Schneider, he always comes in and he's just like, oh, really, want to go for a drive with me without my glasses? Like, it's not a good idea.
And so I love that they went into that. I love that they showed her fucking up because she thought she was right. And they show her as an imperfect being.
And they start off the season showing her as an imperfect being. Because she's trying to be a student. She's trying to be a mom. She's trying to have a full-time job. She's not even thinking about a relationship at this point, but she's fucking up.
Yeah.
And then her family steps up. It helps her get her shit together, which is amazing to see a supportive family like that. And then she does. She gets her shit together. Everything's great. She fucking then back into
better in school.
But yeah, I mean, your life is up and down. They don't show it to be like perfect.
Like, she's just happy and we're just here for the jokes. You know, it's not. Like, again, this show has so much heart.
Yeah, like, so I love that. I really like that we also get to see Lydia struggling with seeing Penelope that way, and she goes to a priest. And she tries to...
the mix.
El Vaporú.
When she gave have you her tried Vicks, Vaporub? That was mad real.
And when the priest mentioned Vaporub, that tripped me out. But you see her really struggle with it. Because, I mean, yes, you yourself struggling with depression, that's hard. And then the people around you, they also...
People that love you.
They want to help. Mm-hmm. And that brings out, like, this whole thing, this dynamic between her and her mother that we hadn't seen in the first season. Mm-hmm. Where Lydia just... She's like, I don't want her to take antidepressants or grow to therapy. But it clearly was what was keeping her together. And she finally admits that.
I love that. And I love that not just exploring her PTSD and how she has trouble with it, they also bring up gun control.
And how... Yeah, Lydia. Oh God.
So Lydia is so like... Not just Lydia, but Lydia and Penelope. They're walking contradictions. Well, Lydia's not a contradiction. Lydia embraces the fact that she owns a gun and has not told anyone yet.
She's like, I feel safer and all this stuff. Lydia's like high key a fucking hoarder, by the way.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a side story.
But I like that she embraces this attitude. It's very real in our community that we're white. I have gun. Like, she's just problematic, but she's also, they call her out on it and she changes. But Penelope is the one that you never really saw coming, which we should have. She was in the military. Like, it's not abnormal for her to own a gun. Like, she knows how to shoot one very well.
Yeah.
It's not an abnormal thing for someone in the military to still continue to own a gun. Even if you're woke and liberal, it doesn't matter.
Or shit, several. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I love that.
And then Alex is the one that calls her out on it. He's mm-hmm. like, well, I know you told Abuela about hers, but are you going to get rid of the gun underneath your floorboard that I found?
Inside of a safe that he figured out the combination to. Alex proves her point. Penelope was like, people say, oh, I have it in a safe. Nobody's going to get it. They say, I know how to use it. They say, it's better to have one than to not have one. They have 1,000 excuses. And all of them are wrong. It's always worse to have a gun in the house than to not have a gun in the house. And she says,
with kids, yeah, with children.
She says, I have a gay teenager in my house. Like, highest suicide rates ever. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I have PTSD. Like, who knows what the fuck I myself could do. You know what I mean? I have a kid, a curious teen in the house, Alex, who knows what he could do. He did go and find the gun.
He found it.
She was right. And she's like, and then whenever he confronts her, she starts giving those same excuses and then, like, catches herself. And she's like... I'm the problem too. She's like, I'm doing exactly what I said. So she decides to get rid of it too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's my bias.
Yeah, my bias is different just because it's like, it's not my house, and I learned not to touch things that aren't mine very early in my life. So
not me, man. I fucking
my dad owns like 10 guns. And I've always known that, and I've also always known not to touch his things. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been curious. Mm-hmm. And if I just learned early on, don't touch, this isn't my house, A, I don't pay the bills, B, like, this is, none of this shit is mine. If you want to own 10 guns, Poppy, it's your house. Like, I'm just not going to touch your shit. I'm going to talk shit to you, but I'm also not going to tell you what to do with your money or the house that I get to live in. You know?
Yeah.
That's how my opinion on it, because it's like, in my own home, I'm going to live differently, but as long as it's not mine, I ain't telling them shit. Like, have 20 guns, but I'm going to judge you for it. But... he has 10.
I don't make the assumption that everybody who lives in that household is gonna be like you. Mm-hmm. I assume they're gonna be like my bitch ass, who goes at their 10 years old sneaking through all the drawers. Like, that's what I was. I was a very curious child.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? I was Alex. I would have found that shit under that floorboard, and I would have found out the combination, and I would have taken that shit out.
Yeah, not all kids are like me and my brother, where we're like, we know they're there and we know we're not gonna ever go in there.
And I was very depressed as a child. Like, I would have gotten that gun and I would have had those thoughts. So I get it. I get why what she was saying.
No, I mean, that's totally valid. Like, that's very important. So I get those points, but I mean, like, yeah, like, everyone sees it differently and everyone understands gun control differently. I don't like them, but I also...
It's important that they brought it up and that they made it complicated.
Yeah.
They didn't make it black and white. I'm so glad they brought it up. I mean, at the end of the day.
That's someone's reality, and it's very true. You know, I like that they brought it up because that's super big.
And so, I mean, one day at a time, this is only the second season, but they did it again where the very last episode the hardest episode for your emotions. Lydia I guess she almost has a she has an episode, I guess, because she had a history of a stroke.
Strokes, yeah.
And she they put her into a medically induced coma, and she had surgery.
And had to wait for her to wake up.
Right. So everybody's like, we have to just wait for her to wake up. And she can't be rushed because you can't tell a rose to bloom faster or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You can't tell a rose to bloom or something.
I love her and Alex being so similar and so close. He literally paints her nails for her.
They gossiped about the novelas together.
They're like, you will never guess what happened at church today.
Yes.
I can't. I loved it so much. And then Elena realizing that she's just like her. Yeah, and then Schneider telling his story about addiction.
That's when you really understand why he's there literally all of the time. And at first he was annoying, and then I saw, I mean, he always kind of is, but then you watch this episode where he explains his addiction, how she helped him, and how that's like his abuela at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and that.
Or mom.
Wow. Like, just, it just shows how warm and loving she is as a character. As like,
or how influential she is in their life.
And plus she looks like my mom, so I just cried the whole episode. So
the hardest one for me was her and Penelope, because it wasn't perfect.
Oh,
and
yeah, she was like, wake up so we can argue.
And she was like talking about how in her, you know, in their childhood, or when Penelope was younger, her mom wasn't perfect. She wasn't always there for her. Like, she was absent during a very important time in Penelope's life. And, you know what I mean? She was always hurt by it, but she kept it to herself. And that's very relatable to me. But still in that moment, she was just like, you know, like, she was contradicting herself, really. She was just like, I can do this without you. I'll be fine without you. I was back then and I am now. But then she was just like, please don't leave me.
Oh, so no, that's I'm real. Gonna cry that's, thinking about it. I'm like, no,
that's
don't
what
do that.
That's what mom and daughter relationships can sometimes be.
They're
sometimes it's, you know, there's a lot of conflict. You don't always see eye to eye. You compromise.
That is, and that's kind of like, not to compare it to something else, but like, shout out to Lady Bird. They kind of did that. So we'll talk about that soon. But that felt.
I'm excited to hear about that.
I like how complicated that was. And I like that in the end when she got, oh, okay, so Lydia got a dance with her, the love of her life with Berto.
Mm-hmm, Berto.
No,
it's
Berto.
Berto, yeah.
Berto, yeah. I was like, Berto, no, Berto, sí. Like, they got a dance and it was like.
I was really sad during that. I was pissed because I really thought she was going to die.
We thought she was going to pass because she was so happy and she was talking about, you know, Elena being a PhD, being a professor,
she's
Alex
like,
being married.
She's like, I can't wait for, I love that scene. She's like, I can't wait for Elena to get her bachelor's degree,
then
her master's degree,
then
her doctorate. And I just want to be there to say, you can't go to school forever. You need to get a job. Yeah.
That's like some real shit. That's
hell
like
yeah.
My mom would say.
I love that she admitted that to herself, that she would be that person.
Yeah.
And she's like, not yet. And that was the title of
the
episode.
The episode was not yet. And so that's why, like, the person I was watching with, they're like, yeah, I didn't know she was going to die. I was like, shut up. I just let me cry this whole episode. Because
the episode is like, either somebody's telling her not yet, or she says it herself,
yeah,
not yet. And it's like,
we don't know which
don't
one
know.
Because they're really taking it far. And you are just sitting there,
you
like,
really
in
don't know,
tears,
man,
the whole time. Because everyone's having an emotional breakdown with her. And it's just like, too much. Like, I needed a hug after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so like, we can spoiler it.
Yeah, I already did.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't pass, so
she comes back and she's like, thank god my nails are done.
Which Papito did for her when she was in there. And he's like, oh, no,
yeah,
I did
Alex
a nail wrong,
Lydia.
Hide her hands. And then when they saw her without earrings, they're like, oh my gosh,
she can never know.
Thank god she didn't wake up. And they're like, what,
isn't that the
point?
Goal.
Oh my god. But yeah, like, this show is so perfect and it means so much to
and
this,
imperfect
like,
perfectly and imperfect.
Yes, yeah, I like how complicated it is. I like that they're showing all of these different things in our community that never get talked about, period. So
the ending felt so abrupt, but still I understood.
I needed it. It was like a roller coaster this season. Like, I just cried happy and just, oh, for too many episodes. Like,
mm-hmm.
I cried like every other episode.
I was not that emotional. But
I didn't feel that way about Coco. I felt that way about this.
Okay.
Yeah. I just a tear comparison.
God, did we cover everything or what?
I think we did. God. If you're still listening, like,
send us crying emojis.
Send us crying emojis, because same.
At CYC Podcast. Twitter, Snapchat,
Instagram. Snapchat, the gram. But yeah, let us know how you felt about this season. Let us know what was your favorite scene. What made y'all cry? Like, let a bitch know. And yeah, we'll talk about it some more. But I love this. I'm going to talk about this forever. And I'm going to watch it like 4 more times.
I'm waiting for everybody on Twitter to catch up because
they're like in episode 6.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Come on, guys. We binged it. I took off work.
I binged it twice. And I can't. Shit. If you guys don't do social media, you can always email us. cycpodcastmail@gmail.com. And we have a Facebook now. facebook.com/cycpod. Quick shout out to Geekend Warriors.
No. Yeah, shout out Geekend Warriors.
Yeah. Geekend Amazons. They have a brother podcast that's okay. Warriors. Shout out to Geekend Amazons. I heard your shout out.
We heard it both.
And we want to be IRL friends with you too.
Yes. Let's kick it. Let's talk about shit. Mm-hmm. We're into it.
Yeah. I'm emotionally drained.
Yeah, I am too. I need more alcohol. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening so much. And like I said, check out our Patreon if you want extra shit from us. Coming up, we have some really good episodes coming up. Like, yeah. Good shit. Some, like, at least one special collab.
Special guest.
That I'm not excited to edit, but I love it. I love them. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. That helps us so fucking much. And we read every single one. Much. We'll feature you on Instagram, you know, all that shit. So thank you so much for those who I already have. We'll
send you like love on us.
And I'm still in LA. I'm still bored. Hit me up. Okay. So thank you for listening once again.
And love y'all. Bye.